Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
There's the snap. Oh, it was almost blocked, and it was! It was blocked! The punt was blocked by Dallas. The ball bouncing to the 45. Recovered at the 46. Dallas has got it. No, Cincinnati recovered. Cincinnati recovered.
They're saying a cowboy down the field hit the football.
Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner on Westwood One. Yep, that's what happened. First play out of the two-minute warning in a tie football game in Dallas. Looked like maybe the Cowboys were set up to make an all-time play with a block punt, but it goes ahead of the line of scrimmage, so now it just becomes like any other punt, Perloff. And a Cowboy player touched it, and then a Bengals player recovered it, set the Bengals up. They score a touchdown. Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase, of course, 27-20. That's your final score, and that's the season for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, they almost stole a win against a much better team last night because you have Joe Burrow on one side and Cooper Rush on the other. This game shouldn't be close. And the Cowboys, to Mike McCarthy's credit, game managed this one into an actual game, had it won. If this play had just gone a little bit differently, we've been talking about right now, like Zach Taylor is a disaster with Cincinnati, because you cannot kill Mike McCarthy for this. Like, the only reason they were in this game was because he was able to chew up so much clock with smart running plays. Like, he didn't take any, the thing that killed me, he didn't take any shots against this awful Bengals defense. I think Troy Aikman wanted to run down on the field, put on a helmet and throw it. But Cooper Rush is a limited quarterback. It was a tough spot. Cowboys almost found a way to win it. And if they had won it, there's a chance. They have an easy schedule, too. There's a chance that they could have snuck in. Very, very frustrating.
Yeah, 5-8. Bengals are also 5-8. And, you know, listen, here's the thing about Mike McCarthy and the game plan and all of that. Rico Dowdle carried the ball for 18 times for 131 yards. And that number needed to be like 30 times. And they were getting a lot of ground. They were gaining a lot on the ground. And I think there was almost too much put on Cooper Rush. He is a backup. I know he's a high-end backup. But while I think you're going to say the positives out of this for McCarthy, I think McCarthy really needed to show something pretty amazing in those last few games for him to have an outside chance to keep this job. And yesterday, because it's, you know, he doesn't coach the special teams, but he is the head coach, that was the final play that really changed everything in this game, and that's what it came down to, the special teams gaffe, and he's got no love from the fan base. Everything is just setting up to this was the final stake for McCarthy, like literally last night.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's all injuries. I mean, how are you going to judge the Cowboys when Dak Prescott's not out there? Like, what are you judging?
Dak Prescott was out there, and they were getting smoked by the Saints. So I've watched the Cowboys lose in such a variety of ways this year when the offense was good, but the defense couldn't hold up their end of the bargain because they were hurt. I've seen when the defense now is good and the offense is limited. I've seen every which way. And, you know, Jerry Jones always says, oh, we love Mike McCarthy. We have so much respect for McCarthy. Well, if you respect him that much, why doesn't he have a contract after this year? You're hanging him out here for situations like last night where he's going to take the brunt of it.
Yeah. Listen, I would not bring Mike McCarthy back, but I think like Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones likes having comfort with the head coach. I think he likes Mike McCarthy a lot. I don't think there's an easy other option because he's not going to bring in anyone who's a bigger name than him. So Belichick and Vrabel are out. So what, are you going to hire Ben Johnson?
Okay.
It's just not going to happen,
so
Maggie.
Here's what you say, right? Jerry has comfort with his head coach. Is that always the best way to do things?
Obviously not. We're talking about Jerry Jones. Nobody says it's the best way to do it.
No, I'm just
saying. But the question is not what should they do. It's what will they do, I think, is interesting. What should they do? I think if we put out a poll, 95% would say move on from Mike McCarthy.
Right.
The question is, what will they do?
Well, and I think the bigger point here is Jerry, right? And what's holding this team back has been Jerry Jones, and actually more specifically Jerry's ego, because Jerry does want to be the guy.
Yeah.
Like the fact that anyone, we talked about this with the Bears, right, with their president Kevin Warren, if he wants to be the guy, anyone who would dismiss hiring or at least interviewing Bill Belichick because of their own ego, if you're a fan of that team, you're sunk. And it doesn't even have to necessarily be Belichick. It's somebody who's in a position of power, who's making the decision based only on them, not on the team.
Okay.
And that's the Jerry Jones experience that Cowboy fans have been living for 35 years.
Yeah, like the Bears and Kevin Warren situation is just coming in the news the last 3 weeks. This has been happening since 1994 when he fired Jimmy Johnson.
I know. And it's unfortunate for Cowboy fans because nothing is changing because he's the owner and the GM.
Yeah.
And also because, and this is the part of it that just is the heartbreaking part of it. You actually have 12 win seasons. You do make the playoffs. It's not like the team is the Jets, who just haven't made the playoffs since 2011. It's so clear about everything that's wrong and this and that, and it's toxic and everything. You actually have some breadcrumbs here that make you have hope. They re-sign the quarterback. They're giving money to CeeDee Lamb. Like, they're doing all the things, and they're stringing you along. And I think ultimately Jerry's ego torpedoes it at the end because they'll string you along, but then when an actual change needs to be made, Where's Jerry?
No, he won't. I think you can squint and see a good team next year. Now, they kept on pointing out last night, the offensive line is pure havoc right now. Like,
they
guys
lost guys
are coming out. They lost guys that even coming in. They're young and they're injured. If that offensive line, if the Cowboys' history of drafting good offensive linemen comes to fruition and Cooper Beebe's really good and Tyler Guyton and Tyler Smith are really good, then you could rebuild that part of the team. You desperately, desperately need a second receiver. That's been going on for 3 years.
Yeah, Brandon Cook sighting last night.
Oh, God. And then you have just studs everywhere on defense. Like, you can't ignore that. That's why if I'm Belichick, I'm going straight here and saying I'm going to bring in my defensive scheme with Micah Parsons running around and Deron Bland and Diggs at cornerback. And I don't think you're going to get DeMarcus Lawrence back. But they have the pieces. They just can't keep everybody healthy this year. They could have been a double-digit win team this year if the entire team was healthy. I'm convinced of that. I honestly remember, we forget, but DeMarcus Lawrence looked really good when he started out the season and boom, went down immediately. That's a huge deal.
Okay, but Perloff, that's also not where the bar is for this Cowboy team. It's not, you know, and by the way, lots of teams get hurt. I know Dak is hurt
yes,
now.
Yes, and they lose games. That's what happens when you get hurt.
Well, or does it? Or do you have something called depth, which I know is a foreign concept to the Dallas Cowboys with this top-heavy roster, but if they're such a good drafting team, then they should have some depth.
Okay, name a team that's ever survived a rash of injuries and won anything big.
Your team won the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. There you go.
Yeah, but if Lane... Yeah, but if one offensive lineman went down, they would have lost that game. They've never won a game without right tackle Lane Johnson on the field. Injuries, look at the Niners. I mean, honestly, like, injuries are real. They're a huge excuse. And, you know,
okay,
what happened to your Bills last year? Everybody got hurt.
And they still won the division. Yeah. This is the thing. You know, you're right to mention the 49ers because what a season from hell this has been for them, right? Everything is going wrong, and they're still not out of it, technically, I guess.
They basically have the same record as the Cowboys.
They do, but...
And they're a way better team.
I don't know. I think the Cowboys are out of it. I know it's actually not looking good for San Francisco either at 6-7. The Cowboys right now are at 5.
Yeah, the funny thing is if Cowboys win that game last night, then they're back in it. I just said team's got enough tape on Cooper Rush. The Bengals seem to know what Cooper Rush was doing last night. He really looked a step down from the Cooper Rush I've known for through the years and come to love.
For all 11 starts that he's made. The other different thing about San Francisco is there's a shot they could actually win the division, which there's no shot that Dallas has that because the Eagles have already won it.
But the Cowboys schedule was easy enough where they could have competed if they beat Washington for that last wild card spot in the NFC. You know, you mentioned the Niners are definitely not out of it because they felt much healthier last week.
Yeah, but then here we go. So you're welcome to weigh in on the Cowboys, 855-212-4227. Again, you're just waking up or if you're, you know, watched that last night and you're like, what did I watch? Yes, you watched a special teams gaffe inside of 2 minutes that handed an extra drive to the Bengals and Joe Burrow, and it was too much. Burrow to Chase, 40-yard touchdown, score, and then you're giving the ball back to Cooper Rush with a minute and a couple timeouts, but a minute, and you're asking Cooper Rush to go down the field. It's too much.
Can I tell you one thing that will not excite you as a Cowboys fan either?
I'm not a Cowboys fan, but sure.
Right. No.
Greater Cowboy fan.
You also have 3 more years of a much older, much slower Dak Prescott in your future. That part feels a little, oh, man, should we have given him the money? I think that's a real question, too. Like you, and if you compound bringing McCarthy back, I don't know. I bet you Cowboys fans out there, and you could call in if you disagree, like, feeling a little bleak today.
Yeah, but you just said things could be setting up well for next year.
I know, but Jerry's not going to do any of that. He's not going to bring in Bill Belichick, who can turn that defense into a real weapon. And I do worry about Dak's mobility moving forward.
How could you not?
Yeah.
You'd be head in the sand if you're like, no, Dak's going to be fine. Like,
also, what? The other thing, too, is like they are so dependent on CeeDee Lamb, and I didn't see the all 22 overhead tape, but I'm sure the Bengals had 3 guys running around after him in the second half because he disappeared, and he is their only legit weapon.
855-212-4227. Do want to get to the 49ers situation in just one moment. Sean, though, is our pal in Oregon. What's up, Sean?
Hey, I'm with Perloff on this. You know, I think this game meant a lot more to Cincinnati than the Cowboys. Nobody expected that game to even be that close, you know, and I like Jerry, you know, if you're comfortable with somebody like that, just stick with them. It's like somebody's spouses or you're comfortable with your spouse. So you stick with them even after they take your car.
You're talking specifically one spouse.
Yeah, I think I see this happen a lot. You know, I'm more and more thankful I'm single sometimes.
This is Sean. You're killing Perloff. He's had enough. Sean, thank you. Perloff took the car this morning when his wife Sarah said specifically that she needed it today.
I went immediately to like country song where a couple broke up and somebody stole the pickup truck. I wasn't even thinking about it. For some reason, I didn't connect to myself right there. I was like, yeah, that's brutal. Break up and she takes the car. Oh man.
Sean's
talking about me. Ah.
That's amazing. Yeah, Sean's talking about you. You took the car this morning. Your wife specifically said last night that she needed it, and you just were on autopilot and took the car anyway.
Who is that new goalie? Oh, that's a Mackenzie Blackwood song.
She took my car. She took my heart.
We had a news update earlier. There's a new Kraken goalie named Mackenzie Blackwood who wrote a country song about it. He took the Honda Accord this morning.
He took the hybrid.
Yeah.
And with it, the keys to your heart, Pearl. Yeah.
I don't even remember. What was Sean's original point?
That Jerry Jones is comfortable with McCarthy.
Yeah, I know. It's the reality of being a Cowboys fan.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. Yeah. The other thing he said is he thought that this game meant more to the Bengals than it did to the Cowboys. Okay, but here's Joe Burrow. Manny, let's hear cut 7. Joe Burrow really downplayed the importance of this game given where the Bengals are in the standings.
I mean, it's nice to win. You know, obviously we're still not where we want to be. It's a nice win, but potentially meaningless.
Yeah, does that sound like a team that's like,
there was oddly something really important for this game because it was a primetime standalone game. And they needed to win a game like this. I think Zach Taylor could have possibly, we'll see what happens the rest of the season, saved his job with this win. If he had lost that game, it clearly would have been him outcoached because he had the better team by far. They have Joe Burrow going against Cooper Rush. That would have been a disaster for Taylor.
So right now, as far as the AFC standings, the Cincinnati Bengals are in 10th place.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and Miami's right in front of them. The Colts are right in front of them. Cincinnati has 5 wins. Miami and the Colts have 6 wins. And then it's Denver, the Chargers. Those are teams with 8 wins. I Joe Burrow, you just heard it right there. And by the way, he had a brace on his knee at the end of the game. If there's anything even slightly off with the same knee that he tore the ACL his rookie season, you got to shut him down. It's not worth it. Bengals are not going anywhere this year.
Yeah, I mean, 5-8, you're not going to do that, though. They could run the table. I hear what you're saying, but finishing 9-8 would feel a lot better than 5-8. And their team is good enough that they should beat anybody. Their defense is just so awful. Maybe they gained a little confidence after last night's game, holding the Cowboys to 20 points. They haven't done that for a
quarterback?
Yeah, I know.
Bills in Arizona. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, hi. Hey, you know, last night's game was proof that McCarthy needs to go. That team is so undisciplined. Who doesn't know that you run away from a blocked kick?
Yeah.
His players just have not been taught, and they've not been pushed into situational football, and that's why they'll stay how they are. And I'm a big Cowboys fan, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Bill, and you know what stinks about it? And thanks for the call. The idea that, you know, the blocked punt, but it goes beyond the line of scrimmage, which now just means it's like any other punt. So if you're the return team and you touch it, it's a live ball, and the Bengals ended up recovering it. It's one of those tricky ones because we don't see it a lot. But the Cowboys should specifically know about this. The Leon Lett play, if you want to go back 30 years, and they also had another play where this happened more recently in a game against the Denver Broncos. And listen, Bones Fossil, their special teams coordinator, is the son of Jim Fossil, is on the sideline telling them, stay away, stay away. Yeah. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, can we hear from Jerry Jones, Manny? Not sure what to say to Amani Oyeware, who was the guy who touched the punt.
I don't know that we say anything to him. You just, we made the mistakes out there. That mistake we made at the end was it was very impactful, is all I can say.
Yeah.
By the way, I will say one thing. When I think of Mike McCarthy's shortcomings as a coach, situational football is not number one on the list because you're just as likely to lose like 47-10. I mean, let's be honest. The big problem is not, oh man, Mike McCarthy got out coached in the last 30 seconds of a game. It's when you go out in a playoff game against Green Bay and let up 48 points.
Well, to be fair, and Mike McCarthy obviously knows more football than we'll ever know, but he has lost both ways. And I guess if you're around long enough, you're gonna. But he's lost in blowout form, and he's lost at the end of games with bad decision-making.
But the story of this season is the blowouts.
Yes, definitely.
I mean...
definitely.
And I honestly, credit McCarthy. Like, that game should... you're going against a fully stacked, very, very motivated Bengals team and kept that game close.
855-212-4227. And we want to talk about the 49ers side of this as well. But you can call in about the Cowboys. You can also vote on our poll. Was last night the nail in the coffin for Mike McCarthy's tenure with the Cowboys? Polling about 72% of you saying yes. Also, another poll. Do you have a shared calendar with your spouse and partner? 72% of you saying no. Get on that, guys. It will save you a lot of fights.
Yeah,
as EJ knows all too well.
I wish I would have learned that last week.
Can you pull out that, by the way, cut and paste that poll so we can run it week 11 next year when the Cowboys lose a bad game and the year after that? Or, we could use the same one from 2023 when they got killed in the playoffs, well, or Michael, 2022.
Michael Parsons said this was worse than a playoff loss.
I mean, it just feels like there's messaging coming out of that building that we want to bring McCarthy back. You can't ignore it. There's just different people are coming up, and it feels like they're all in the same, saying the same things.
Here's a silver lining for the Cowboys and their fans this morning. Two of your biggest rivals are also dealing with drama. And we're going to unpack it all next. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. So you feel bad for this Cowboys special teamer guy, huh, Mag? You're being soft. If he was a Bills special team player, you would have said, get this guy, put him in Siberia.
You know, I was actually talking about this with former league MVP Boomer Esiason this morning. So I was like, you know, I feel like it was a young guy trying to make a play. But listen, maybe that's not, at this level, that's not a good enough, you know, excuse.
I think if he doesn't do that, I think the Cowboys get a field goal. I'm almost sure the Bengals score to tie the game.
Well, I mean, because listen, Burrow and Chase, so you never know. But by the way, Perloff is talking about the special teams gaffe that defined the game last night. inside of 2 minutes, block punt. That the Cowboys are able to block the punt, but it went forward on the line of scrimmage, which means it's just a live ball, and the Bengals recovered.
Right. I just felt like the Bengals were clearly the better team. Like, did you feel like all night they could just sort of blow this game out of the water, just start throwing to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins down the field?
They did throw to Jamar Chase down the field. They had 14 catches for 177 yards and two touchdowns.
But he had, I think, 85 of those in the first half. And then the second half, their offense completely fell apart until that last play where Chase. They really couldn't do anything. I felt like something went a little south with them. They were just waiting. Like, we have this game won. And then all of a sudden they looked up and like, oh my God, we're losing this game.
Wow. Yeah, that's a funny way to put it. Well, Joe Burrow, you know, Dallas comes out of the second half. They go on a really nice touchdown drive. It was actually beautiful. They tie the game up at 17 apiece, and then Burrow threw a pretty bad pick. And then that led to a field goal for the Dallas Cowboys, and then they countered with a field goal, and then we were punt, all the way until that Jamar Chase 40-yard touchdown after the block punt. So, yeah, things got a little bit stagnant. I thought that the Cowboys' defense really stepped up.
Yeah, they were getting after Joe Burrow big time.
Yeah, Micah Parsons was flying all over the place. And then midway through the fourth quarter, Demarion Overshawn, who's an emerging star for the Cowboys, unfortunately got hurt. Our pal Adrian is in Maryland. Adrian, you don't think Mike McCarthy should be responsible for that special teams gaffe?
Hey, Maggie, how you doing? Perloff. Hey, he's not responsible. That's a Pop Warner rule that, you know, if a block punt happens, everybody gets away. And you can see the players on the field saying get away. The guys on the sideline are saying get away. So that's not Mike McCarthy. And Perloff, as far as Bengals blowing them out, Dallas doesn't have their starting quarterback. They don't have their starting guard. They have a starting left tackle. The center went out with a concussion. Yeah. And they scored 3 points in the second half.
Yeah, I
know. There should be more concern in Cincinnati than in Dallas.
No, there is. I think
Cincinnati is not good. They're definitely not good. Zach Taylor did not show himself well last night.
3 points. If Dallas has a full complement of players, they probably blow Cincinnati out. That's probably a blowout.
Kind of like the Eagles blew out the Bengals. Yeah, no.
Exactly.
If Dak's there, the Cowboys definitely win that game. There's no doubt about it.
So the only thing I'm saying, I get on Mike McCarthy because of play calling, time management, everything like that. But this is 100% not his fault. And Jerry Jones saying, "Oh, we should have let the punt go and took the kickoff, took the punt." That's just idiotic. That's idiotic. Who doesn't take a block punt over a return of a fair catch or something like that? And some people are saying, was it a play that was put on? No, the guy just broke the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
If you break the line of scrimmage, you're going to try to block the punt, and that's exactly what he did. That was a great play by that kid and a dumb play by the guy trying to pick it up. Because you can see he was ready, he was looking at it, and he was like, I'm going to scoop and score this. Just get away and take the ball. Dallas runs the clock out, take the field goal, game's over. Then everybody's saying a narrative, oh, Dallas just beat another bad team. It's just Cincinnati. They're not a good team.
Well,
one
thing, Adrian, you mentioned, like, I didn't know that line that they shouldn't have gone after the punt. The worst play in football, of all football, there are many bad things, is roughing the punter and giving the ball back to the punting team.
Oh, it's brutal. Especially Adrian, you all right? We just heard someone beeping at you.
Yeah, no, somebody ran a red light and I had to beep at them.
Oh, good.
It's all good. But the guy, he took the right angle to block the punt, so he wasn't going to rough the kicker. He never even touched the kicker.
Yeah.
He just blocked the punt, so you couldn't fault him. If he roughed the kicker and they got a first down, okay, that's a dumb play.
On 4th and 26, you know, that would be a disaster.
No, but to Adrian's point, it was an all-time great special teams play until it was an all-time boneheaded special teams play. That was the nature of that play. The block was awesome, and then the mind fart or whatever by
Aruwariye,
thank you.
Right.
To touch the ball.
Right. You know? And you can see him. He was like looking like one of the track stars in the blocks, getting ready to scoop it and run.
and he bobbled it. Adrian, listen, get to work safely or home or wherever you're headed to. And it's a good call. Listen, there's a Bengals side of this, and I've been talking about Joe Burrow should be shut down because he finished the game with a knee brace. Zach Taylor, I think, is very far from safe. I can't imagine that he's feeling very comfortable right now, the head coach.
Yeah, but do you blame him for the defense? I think that's a valid question.
Well, it depends. I mean, does he want to change the defense? Is he
You going to give him some players on the defense? Like, are you going to spend some money on the defense?
Well, here's the thing, though. Yes, the money might be an issue, but they have spent top 100 draft picks on 8 different defensive players. It's also about developing those guys. And I know that he is an offensive dude, but you're also the head coach. If you want to get paid to be the offensive coordinator and just care about the offense, then go be an offensive coordinator. But if you're going to be the head coach, you got to be responsible for all facets, no?
I don't know. Do they have any first round? Who are the first round picks on defense?
I saw the article. Yeah. They have 8 top 100 picks on defense that have all been drafted, I believe, over the last 5 years.
Yeah, is that unusual?
Who was panning out?
Well, I'm saying, like, obviously they famously drafted Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, so I just think, like, they really have a no-name defense, and they let Jesse Bates go, and they have Trey Hendrickson, and now, have they paid Hendrickson yet? Like, they're kind of a mess.
Okay, they have 9 defensive players inside the top 100. Joseph Asai, remember him? He pushed Pat Mahomes in the AFC Championship.
Wait, sorry. Before you
Daxon go out. Hill was a first-round pick in 2022. Cam Taylor-Britt was a second-round pick in 2022. Zachary Carter, third-round pick. Miles Murphy is a first-round pick from 2022.
Yeah, like 30th.
Perloff, first-round picks. DJ Turner, second-round pick.
Wait, Maggie, doesn't every team have their entire defense from the whole league's top 100 picks? Like, that doesn't prove anything.
But you're asking, why do they need to go spend money? They're investing draft capital in, I gave you first and second round picks. You're hoping those guys pan out on defense.
Those guys have had good years in the past.
Cam Taylor-Britt, he's had great games against the Bills.
Yeah. But you got to invest high picks to get, like, I mean, look, 2017, John Ross, terrible pick. 2018, Billy Price, center, horrible pick. 2019, Jonah Williams, guard, terrible pick. 2020, Joe Burrow, good pick. Ja'Marr Chase, that's 6 first-rounders in a row on offense. Then they went Daxon Hill at 31 and Miles Murphy at 28. Like, they have not...
Yeah, but bro, welcome to the world of winning in the NFL. Right,
they're up at 18 this year, and they happen to be in a situation where all these good defenders fell. And they said, no, we're going to go with Amarius Mims, the guy who never played any college football at Georgia. I just think, like, they have not invested. But I'm not even talking about the draft picks. Like, sign somebody. Like, do something. You have Joe Burrow. You better get some good players in on this defense to match him.
But what have we been saying, though? Because Lou Anarumo had the secret sauce to beat Patrick Mahomes. Yep. We've been saying, you got to get an offensive line. You got to get an offensive line. The year that they went to the Super Bowl, Burrow's getting sacked 8 times in an AFC Championship game.
Yeah, no, I get it.
It's just this year we're talking about their defense not being great.
Yeah, no, I know. But you're right. I'm getting caught up in the moment. But obviously, their defense is a huge embarrassment for this franchise right now.
Definitely.
And you look at, like, last night, Geno Stone had a interception, right? And even Troy Aikman is like, wow, that is good, because he has been one of the most torched defensive backs the NFL has seen in a long time.
Crazy. 855-212-4227. Yeah, we've been focusing on the Cowboys side of this, but there's a lot to unpack with Cincinnati. A totally lost season when Joe Burrow is playing, honestly, like an MVP. He's got MVP numbers. And it's just for nothing. For nothing. That's got to just drive you nuts.
I mean, a lot of the numbers are because he's in nothing but shootouts. Because the defense, except last night, the Cowboys, because they had a backup quarterback, finally did not, you know, a normal team would have run the ball up and down the field and scored 35 points on that Bengals D. But the Cowboys couldn't do that with Cooper Rush. Yeah, I don't know what to do with Cincinnati. I don't know if firing Zach Taylor is the right move, because they have a great offense, and he's an offensive guy. You know, he does not coach that defense. And I thought Lou Anarumo was good. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, Lou's magic, the pixie dust, the wore off. Bogish is here with headlines for us on this very busy, busy morning.
And these headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. What? I'm guessing the Cowboys have a special teams meeting in their shared calendar after this.
The snap is good. Here comes the punt, and it's blocked. Can you believe it? It's rolling forward. The Cowboys may have touched it. If that's the case, the Bengals would get the ball.
They got it. They
what
do.
A colossal they mistake do. By the Dallas Cowboys. They just needed to get out of the way after blocking that punt. One of their players touched it, and the Bengals recovered.
That's Dan Horde on Bengals Radio. Amani Oruwariye is the Cowboy that incorrectly tried to field that punt. A teammate had blocked, touching it, let Cincy recover, keep possession. So it was the Bengals driving for the winning points in the final 2 minutes, and they got him on a 40-yard Joe Burrow-Jamar Chase connection. The 27-20 win in Dallas gets Zach Taylor's team within 3 games of a wild card spot.
It's an opportunity for the world to see that we're going to keep fighting, you know, and this is who we are. And when the Bengals walk on the field, you know, you're going to get our best shot.
But as you guys were just saying, their best shot has not been good enough too often this season. Now, on top of losing and dropping to 5-8, the Cowboys may have lost to Marvion Overshown to a serious right knee injury last night. Bill Belichick confirming yesterday he's had multiple conversations with North Carolina football. All he would add on Pat McAfee's show was, we'll see. Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty, Dylan Gabriel, Cam Ward are Heisman finalists, so they'll be in New York for Saturday's ceremony. And Michigan All-America D-tackle Mason Graham declares for the draft. He might be a top 5 pick. Monday night basketball in Toronto. Knicks Raptors in a standalone game. New York winning 113-108, despite 30 points from R.J. Barrett. Let's stay in New York and check on the Yankees, post Juan Soto.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've come too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to keep our composure.
GM Brian Cashman did eventually calm down and added this.
We're ready to rock. We're ready to roll. And we need to do some business, and we intend to do some business.
Oh, good. They're going to try and add players.
Wait, Bogus. They're ready to rock, and they are ready to roll.
Yeah. Look out, world.
That was such a rock and roll comment. Jeez, was Brian Cashman in a punk band in his teenage years?
I don't think you've met Brian Cashman. He doesn't have a lot of that punk band energy.
That almost didn't even sound like him.
That was Will Ferrell, the first one.
No, I meant second one, of course. Yes, I'm aware of that.
Sorry. It's funny because the Cowboys, what's the difference? The Cowboys, the Yankees, it's like, all right, now we're on to plan B. It's like, it's not just plan B. You got to have plan B, C, D, and E all rolled up into one, because that's how much Juan Soto was plan A. We haven't really gotten Manny's take on this. I know you're upset, Manny. You're a big Yankee fan. Who are you mad at most?
Who am I mad at most? I'd probably say Hal Steinbrenner.
Because he didn't go the distance.
He didn't go the distance. But you know what? We got to pivot. I mean, what am I going to do about it? We got to pivot. Have fun with Bobby Bonilla, you guys.
Coping. Who's coping?
8 playoff appearances, 4 wild card appearances.
You have to understand.
2 NLDSs and 1 championship series.
If you're not in New York, this all sounds insane. Because, like, the Yankees have, like, I mean, look at their lineup. Like, what the heck do they care if Juan Soto's there? They have Aaron Judge.
Yeah, but they've had Aaron Judge, and he's been winning MVPs, and they didn't get to the World Series until this year.
I assumed it was middle relief, just like everything else.
Can't wait for Trent Grisham to be playing out there every single day now.
That guy crushes the Mets. I hope to never see him.
Manny, I'm sorry for you. You guys gave up a lot to get Juan Soto. You thought having him in the building for a year was going to open his eyes.
Shower him with love.
The Yankee way.
And instead you threw out his parents trying to get into the stadium.
Well, that came out yesterday. So then there was an article that came out that earlier in the season, there was a misunderstanding with Yankee security. And I believe is Juan Soto's...
Chef.
And driver. Chef/driver.
Yes.
Which is a classic mistake.
Weird title, by the way.
It's the same guy, the chef and the driver. I thought it was two different dudes.
It's different, same person, I think.
It's multi-talented. It's better than Jimmy Butler's barista. Do we know if he even has a license?
True.
Jimmy could be wasting all this money.
Like I saw in a message from our very own AB, at least I still have OG Anunoby.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's always a bright side.
So you think
I don't know how that makes any sense for a basketball player with your Yankees, but sure.
So... the Yankees are—they're going to be in the playoffs this year, though, right?
I sure hope so.
Yeah. So, like, what is like? Why are Yankee fans panicking? I don't understand this at all.
I don't know if they're panicking, but I think it's more of the fact that they just don't trust Brian Cashman and what he will do in the offseason. I mean, you sign Carlos Rodon. Last time the Yankees had a plan B, by the way, they got Jacoby Ellsbury and Brian McCann. That didn't exactly work out for the Bombers. So, I mean, I don't have a lot of trust.
Yeah.
I think too much will be invested right now into the starting rotation that already has way too much money invested into. So this is all great. No, this is all fun. At least it's basketball season.
Weird.
There is not like a trust, I think, with the Yankee front office. And I think they thought that the mystique of the Yankees, I think this is part of it, the mystique of the Yankees and being there and going to the World Series and all that would sway Juan Soto. And I get it. Once you're talking about $760 million, like, easy for me to say, like, what's another shot at 40 mil? But he's not thinking that way.
I also, we also don't know if the Yankees had a chance to match the Mets' last offer.
Mm.
I always think they would have went back.
So
but
that was the assumption, but it almost sounds like they bumped the 16,760 was the Yankees' last offer, and the Mets' last offer was theirs, and they just said yes to the Mets.
Yeah, so that's the reporting coming out from The Athletic, where it's 10 a.m. on Sunday, where the Yankees made their last offer, and then they didn't hear from Soto, didn't hear from him until the announcement got leaked.
In his last offer?
No, I'm sorry, Boris called him back and said, That was not right. Boris called them and said, we're going with the Mets.
Right, exactly.
So, you're right. Maybe they didn't even get a chance to find to counter.
And 760 over 16 years is a pretty legitimate offer. Like, I would feel the same way. I'd be a different level of heartbroken. But at some point, like, they did all they could do to get this done.
No. Don't let them off the hook like that.
No.
And Yankee, and I know you're not a Yankee fan, Bogus, but Yankee fans should not do that. I'm sorry. If the Yankees were going to pay Juan Soto and match the Mets, they'd be bankrupt? They'd have to close the doors? No more Yankees? That's it? Yankee Stadium closed from here into eternity. No. That's not what would happen. The Yankees have plenty of money. They always do. And so this is, they just didn't want to. They said they went to a spot that was uncomfortable. Okay, that's fine. But spare me the, we couldn't afford it. That is BS. No shot.
But I don't know, and stop making me defend them. They haven't said we couldn't afford it. They were already going to, by $60 million, reset the largest contract in baseball history. And if they didn't get a chance to word for word match the last Mets offer, that's not their fault.
Yeah, but Cashman said, I thought he said yesterday, we were already into a spot where we were uncomfortable. So I think maybe Boris knew that was the last and final, if you will.
Oof. Well, I mean, shame on Boris for not trying again.
Maybe, like, right? Maybe he's sparing the Yankees a little. Maybe he's sparing them some shame that if he did go back to say that they actually said no. Nowhere in the reporting is saying the Yankees ever said no, and that might be Boris doing them a solid.
Because
he's got clients all over the, and he needs to use the Yankees in future negotiations.
I was about to say, I hate to be tinfoil hat guy, but I kind of wonder if he's like, well, the Yankees lose out on Soto, you know they're going to have to pay up on all these other clients I
have another roster.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, not to say that the Mets couldn't have either, but I mean, we know who the Mets GM is. Like, maybe there is a chance that Mets don't just go crazy in free agency beyond Soto if they lost out on him.
Can I interest you in a polar bear?
The rest of the country does not know who the Mets GM is, nor should they. But
sorry, David Stearns.
He comes from a small market.
Small market, you know the deal with these Moneyball guys.
And I mean, I would love for this to have boiled simply down to Juan Soto preferring the Mets over the Yankees. But the Mets offer is $805 million.
If it comes to every penny.
It's $805 million because he's going to opt out after 5 years. And if it's going well, the Mets will easily tack on another $40 million to keep him. He's going to get $805 million. He picked the better offer. He picked the richer offer.
I just feel like
that's what he did.
I'd feel like maybe, like, I get Bogus's point, but I think I'd feel that way if this was us bidding against the Dodgers or the Reds or some team. Like, the fact that they still outbid the Yankees still makes me feel good. I don't feel like, oh, this guy's just a mercenary who came for the money. I still feel like I won something.
Because he chose your team over the
My
team other
was
team.
Chosen over See, the Yankees of all teams. It couldn't have been any other team. It had to be the Yankees.
Here's the thing, though. What was preventing the Yankees from going to $800 million?
Because they didn't know they had to.
Well, or did they? I don't know. 855-212-4227. Again, is that being saving the Yankees' face a little bit? They already said they were uncomfortable at 760.
I don't.
Yeah.
Anyway. I get it. I just feel like at a certain point, if you're the Yankees, I think when you've gone far enough, like, what there is, I don't, like, you're at 760. Like, just go.
Just keep going.
Yeah, we're here now.
But to Bogus's point, did they actually have the opportunity? Perloff opt out of this conversation. $700 million.
Yeah, I think we should cut this and put it up as an example of why nobody likes New York baseball teams or New York teams in general. Like, this is like the fact that the Mets and Yankees got all caught up in their own crap with each other is so funny. Like, nobody's like lamenting the Dodgers not getting this guy, but it's like, ooh, it's a lot of money.
Well, think about it. The Dodgers just signed a guy for $700 million, and they got Yamamoto on top of it, and then they just signed Blake Snell. Like, don't worry, the Dodgers are doing great.
Shohei was very unbothered at the Laker game.
Yeah, I mean,
he was just like smiling as Soto signs his contract. He's like, it's okay, I'm gonna hit another 50.
You guys know, like, there's no parade.
Yankee fans aren't just in New York, though.
Yeah, yeah, but you guys know, like, what happens in December actually has no bearing on like what's gonna happen in the World Series.
Except it just did.
Yeah, I know. The Dodgers have literally been outspending the entire baseball thing for 15 years and finally won a real World Series. Like, it took forever.
Well, Texas paid a bunch of guys too, and they won.
Well, they weren't number one, though. I mean,
no, but I mean, like, they made moves that like won them a World Series. No, right.
I don't know. I feel like the Mets are like planning a parade, and the Yankees are like, "Well, our franchise is over." It's like, come on, you do the classic overreacting to an off-season move, well, just like the NFL. Like, we always do it. NBA is even worse. I mean, the reaction, it's an off-season move. They always are overhyped, 100% of the time.
You can make an argument Juan Soto's like the third best player in baseball, behind Ohtani and Judge.
I'm just saying, I'm not even talking about Juan Soto. I'm just saying in general, like, oh my God, the overreaction to an offseason story. It's like, if you guys ever watch sports, do you know what's going to happen? We all know what's going
to
happen.
You signed Bryce Harper and he's winning MVPs and you got to a World Series. How are you the one who's saying that these things don't matter?
I just think
sports don't matter on a sports radio show.
I just say free agency, like,
am I off tomorrow?
So like, that's how it's worth work.
Like in the NFL in March, I was like, oh my God, free agency is such a big deal. When everybody in the league knows, like, just the crappy players get to free agency. And like, yeah, I mean, you're holding a parade for an offseason move. It's a classic sports fan mistake.
You know that Juan Soto's not a crappy player.
Yeah,
he's not overrated. It's impossible to overrate him.
No, I'm saying that. It's like, no, but we say this every offseason move. Of course, you're saying this. This is like classic sports fan mistake.
The thing no one's talking about when it comes to Bill Belichick in North Carolina. We got the dirty details.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Details next. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. All right, we've been talking about Bill Belichick in North Carolina, Perloff, and how this is kind of going down the road where at least publicly feels like there's a lot of mutual interest. Our pal Ralph Russo, who was on the show yesterday, was part of the team that was reporting this for The Athletic. There is so much more going on behind the scenes at North Carolina right now that I don't know if I'm Belichick if I want to step into this. Can I give you some of the details?
Yeah, please.
So according to The Athletic, the North Carolina Board of Trustees is headed by a guy named John Prayer. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And he and athletic director Bubba Cunningham are basically locked in a blood feud. So this is the 13-person group school serves as the school's top governing body. And this guy, John Prayer, is the top of that list. And he and the athletic director, again, are at odds with each other over lots of things, whether it's budgets, whether it's how Mac Brown was dismissed, all of these things. So there's an idea that it's possible that Prayer, the guy who's the head of the board of trustees, may have possibly went behind everyone's back to go meet with Belichick and possibly even give him an offer already. And if he does that, it would be in total violation of their bylaws and charter. And so the guy who may be most excited about Belichick may actually be in violation of their bylaws and may be facing some kind of, I don't know, discipline. I have no idea.
Yeah, and so what does that mean for Belichick as far as the offer?
I think what it means is you are walking into basically having to work with a couple that looks like they're about to get divorced or something like that. So you're just walking into a situation where how high degree of difficulty do you want this to be when you have the higher-ups are not speaking to each other? Or I don't know if they're not speaking to each other, but they certainly don't trust each other. They certainly don't like each other, and you could get caught in the middle of all that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Arizona State, SMU, and Indiana are in the final 12, so anybody can make this thing. You don't need a history, but isn't North Carolina's football history a real concern for Belichick here? They've had more first-round picks and NCAA violations than actual wins. Like, they've never done anything. Like, isn't it kind of like a loser program? I'm sorry. Like, it doesn't feel like that's a school that obviously loves basketball. I feel like this is a tough place to go.
But if you're Belichick, your ego is probably such that you would say, I can turn it around. I'm sure Belichick
has. But nobody's ever turned this program around.
Well, you might have a respect for Mac Brown, who did some nice things at UNC, but was never able to get them over the hump. But Mac Brown would say, this is because of finances. We're not being financed properly, even though they just built a brand new facility for $40 million. They just redid the weight room for however many millions.
Yeah, I feel like you're already behind the eight ball at that program. Anyway, I don't know. It feels like I would take any NFL job over North Carolina. And I take a bunch of other college jobs over North Carolina.
Well, I don't know if those are opening. The NFL jobs are opening. But I don't know. Is there one that looks super appealing? I guess Jacksonville because Trevor Lawrence. But Trevor Lawrence has been a disappointment. You know,
but how
the
is
Cowboys,
Belichick,
you got to coexist with Jerry Jones.
How is Belichick going to learn the college game fast enough to win here in his time frame?
Well, what he said to McAfee yesterday is that he actually spends lots of times on college campuses because he's there through the draft process.
Right, and he's a terrible drafter.
Well, he didn't draft the greatest quarterback ever.
In the sixth round.
855.
Passed on him eight times.
212-4227. A drama in Philly next.